As we continue in worship this day, we have the opportunity to read upon the scriptures and to hear a word prepared. Thank you for your prayers. In the early service bulletin that has a little bit more room in it, there was a picture of me ringing the bell Monday morning. So grateful for that part of this journey. Hopefully that will be the end of those treatments, chemo treatments that have been 12 sessions long over 10 months. As we continue in worship this day, we have the opportunity to read upon the scriptures. I'm reading one verse, just one verse, if I can find it. It's Matthew 6:24. And here I am. It says, "No one can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So we're continuing on our stewardship campaign, or stewardship series over this next couple of weeks. This is week two of four, concluding with our, as Ray said, our Fall Fest and one service, and invite you to bring your pledge cards that day as we prepare for the next year. You know, serving two masters can get complicated. Actually, the scripture that I read this morning is dealt with in many of the Gospels. In Matthew 3:24, it says, "If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand." Kind of goes to the two masters, the separation of the two. Jesus was talking about the certainty that a heart, if divided, would greatly suffer and would not be able to stand. And so I asked the question this morning, what are the divisions in our hearts that affect us today? To serve more than one master, Jesus says, is something that can't be done. You end up hating one and loving the other. Jesus warns us because he knows the sure destruction that serving multiple masters can have on us. But he also knows, as he talks about so often, the way the power is found in trusting in just one master, Jesus. One way I see this scripture kind of lived out in our world today is that we try to please everyone. One of the reasons why we have multiple masters is to say that we say yes too much. We give ourselves to too many things. It's hard for us to say no because we're people who don't like to disappoint others. I know I don't. However, if we allow our fear of disappointing others and our fear of criticism, we'll struggle to provide any kind of ministry and leadership. Because no matter what we do, we disappoint someone. Over the last 10 months of my cancer journey, probably for the first time in my ministry, 17 years, I've had to say no. Like, people have come and asked me to do things, or maybe I was involved in a number of different things, and I've had to say no. And now, as I'm kind of working my way out of this, hopefully, this season of my life, I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to say yes to again. It's hard trying to figure out what to say yes to and what to say no to. We want to be liked. We want to be accepted. And it's painful when we feel that we've let someone down who's come to us. But discernment in our journey is allowing us to slow down enough to realize how many things we're devoted to and what we need to say no to. A few years ago, there was a book that came out, and I did a study at one of the campus ministries as I was in Weslaco, a community college that was there. And I would go every Thursday and bring pizza and a devotion or a study. And we did a study called Not a Fan. Not a Fan was it's a book that was put out, and it's a pretty challenging book because it helps us identify where we're falling short in our Christian walk and allows us to move forward to become more committed followers of Jesus. The author of the book, Kyle Eidelman, said he noticed there was something wrong with the statistics that were reported by the surveys. He says that in a recent survey that somewhere north of 75% of people that he asked claimed that they were Christians. They said they were Christians. I'm not really sure what the percentage is today. That book was produced like in 2019 or something. But he begins by noting that according to a recent survey that 75% were Christians, and he said that of the 311 million people in the United States, and I don't know what that number is today, that would mean that 233 million people said they were Christians. That's a lot of Christians. But in his estimation, the survey was off. Because if there were 233 million Christians around the United States, then he said, why would 35 million people in America go to bed hungry tonight, including 13 million children? He said, if there were 75% of Americans that are Christians, why are there more than 120,000 people, children, waiting to be adopted? He said the numbers just don't add up to him. The evidence is not there. And he goes on to explain that he read an article a number of years ago that talked about new vegetarians. And these new vegetarians don't eat meat most of the time. One of them explained that she was a vegetarian, but she really liked bacon. And she ate it. A vegetarian, by definition, is someone who doesn't eat meat. But bacon's a meat. So then he adds that there's a new term for a vegetarian that sometimes eats meat. And they're called a flexitarian. A Christian, the author continues, by definition, is a follower of Jesus. And so I'm thinking that what might help make sense of the 233 million people described are not followers, but maybe fans. A fan. We're a fan. I'm a Texas fan. We beat Oklahoma yesterday, right? That was a boring game because we dominated them. We killed them. Sorry about that. But the word fan means is defined by an enthusiastic admirer. Maybe someone who enjoys watching or being a part of or enjoying the benefits of something. Some fans may even wear the shirt, have a ringtone, be associated with, close enough to get the benefits of. No strings attached. So a fan, the author says, is someone who likes Jesus but doesn't, you know, necessarily want to serve the poor. Or someone who likes Jesus but maybe not going to give their money to those in need. Maybe enjoys Jesus but don't ask me to forgive that person who hurt me. Someone who likes Jesus but don't ask me to give up bacon. The work of the church is important. The work of the church is what happens here in this place and even out in the world around us with our children singing and with youth and young adults and with adults and senior adults. Every single person is vital to the kingdom of God. The place where disciples grow, where they're equipped. The church is a place that deserves our loyalty and service. If the church is going to be all that it's capable of being, it needs all of us together, working together. serving one master, not two. For serving two masters reminds us that none can avoid letting others down. None of us can avoid the criticism and rejection. But that doesn't mean we've done something wrong. Where grace comes in for us. Jesus spent most of his time with ordinary people. He ate with them, he healed them, he taught them about God's love and mercy for them. Author Paul Tillich, in his sermon, You Are Accepted, said, "Grace strikes us when our disgust for our own being, our indifference, our weakness, our hostility, and our lack of direction and composure have become intolerable to us. It strikes us when, year after year, the longed-for perfection of life doesn't happen, doesn't appear." He says, sometimes at that moment, a wave of light breaks through the darkness. And it says in a voice that you are accepted. You are accepted, accepted by that which is greater than you, in the name of which you do not know. He says, do not ask for the name now. Perhaps you will find it later. Do not try to do anything now. Perhaps you will do much later. Do not seek anything now. Do not perform anything. Do not intend anything. Simply accept that you are accepted. And if that happens, you will experience God's grace. You are accepted. You know, things around us tell us that security is found in protecting everything. We have insurance on everything nowadays, on our pets, on our possessions, on our houses, on our finances. But God tells us that security is found in being willing to give everything up. For you see, we can break loose of our need to feel as though we have to please everyone in order to know love. When we can do that, we truly live and we truly love, not pretending to love, but truly loving others, even if we are expecting nothing in return. If we try to please everyone, we'll fail. It's impossible. Please everyone. However, if we're offering the love of Jesus to anyone and everyone and allow Christ to do his work in us, then it frees us to God's grace and love for every person. And so the scripture that I read this morning from Matthew 6:24, serving two masters, still relevant for us today. And so may we who continue to show up, who continue to work for the good of those in which Christ loves, for those who are offering the bread of life to our neighbors, we live and we truly love, we truly will know the love of Jesus. I've heard as a pastor, hundreds of times with people, you know, quit going to church for one reason or another, or being disappointed with the church or the pastor. But I don't think there's anyone who can say, I'm leaving the church because I found someone better than Christ. Christ is the cornerstone. May our devotion be towards Christ. Let us pray. Loving God, we give you thanks for this time of worship. We thank you for this short scripture that we find in our holy scriptures that remind us of our devotion to you, that remind us of our call to serve you in all things. May we be a church, may we be a people who is wholly devoted to you in all things. Even as we live in a world in which so many things crash on our lives, may we discern and may we be attentive to how you are calling us to be your hands and feet today. We pray this in Christ's holy name. Amen.